The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you and welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Kurt Larson, and many of you know me because I used to be your Lutheran campus pastor. It's a great joy to be here and see so many familiar faces. When Pastor Randy asked me to do a weekend here, I said, absolutely, I'd love to spend some time with my good friends at Christ Lutheran Church. So it's great to be here this morning. Because it's still a little bit humid outside, I did not alb up today. I got permission from Darren and Arla. So I did check with them, and they gave me permission that I did not put the alb on. So thank you for that. So I know we've had some hot weather here, and I think we need to pray for air conditioners throughout the area here as well, too, during this hot wave here. But we'll have some more announcements at the end of worship, but we'll begin with confession and forgiveness, and let's remain seated here. There's a lot of songs afterwards, so we'll remain seated for the first portion of our worship. But as we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We continue with our gathering song.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's sing the Kyrie together as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Our first reading comes to us from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great in your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good for those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one cheeks to the smiter, and to be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 30. Please read the bold print responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumphant over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and your
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Our second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so you will want to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the eagerness of others. For you know the generous acts of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving you my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by the completing it according to your means. For if your eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief on others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and, when he saw him, fell at his feet, and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I had the great privilege of going earlier this week on an annual road bike trip with my friends up to the north shore of Lake Superior. It's a trip we do every year. We go up on a Sunday, and then we camp overnight, and then on Monday we take some stretch of the north shore to do some road biking. This year there were five of us who went up there, and as we started off on Monday morning, I made that classic mistake. I was talking to one of the bikers who happens to be an emergency room doctor, and I said, "I've never been in a bike accident my whole life." I should not have said that. It was a perfect day for biking, and I actually passed my personal best of 75 miles. So I was pretty happy about that until we hit around 80 miles. There was a little hill on the trail, and as I was going down, I picked up speed, and the guy who never had a bike accident before got a little bit too close to the guy in front of him. And when he had to hit his brakes hard with something in the trail, that gave me two options, either run directly into my friend or to veer off to the left. Neither was a good option, because veering off to the left mean I was going full speed into the forest. Road bikes are not intended to go into the woods. So as I went in there full speed, everything happened so fast. But I remember thinking to myself, as I was going in, I thought to myself, this is not going to end well. Went in full speed, of course, as soon as my bike hit the brush and the twigs and the branches on the floor of the woods, my wheel turned, and I learned some physics, that a body in motion stays in motion. We also had a physics professor on our trip as well, too. My body went flying over the handlebars, and I flipped over, and I landed on my back. It happened all so quickly, but I do remember, as I was there on my back, I was between two trees. I happened to miss hitting both trees. And I was thinking to myself immediately, I don't think I'm injured. And my second thought was, thank you, Lord. It was very scary. My friend who was in front of me who braked, he saw me go flying into the woods. And he said afterwards, "I was fully expecting you to be injured." I had feelings of shock and thankfulness were my two primary emotions. I think those were also emotions and feelings that people in our gospel lesson today had as well, whether it be those who were healed, parents or family or other friends or onlookers. Shock, amazement, and thankfulness. It's a story of two healings. A dying little girl, number one, the daughter of a synagogue leader, and second, the no-name, hopeless, nobody woman who has been that way for 12 years. It's also a story of a man of power, the healing rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus. I like this story. I want to share, too, as just a sidebar here. The two stories prior to this one, Jesus calmed the storm, and he healed a man who had been possessed by demons. So if you put these four stories together in a row, I love this. It shows that Jesus has power over nature, power over demons, power over sickness, and power over death itself. So this is definitely a story about a man with power, healing power. But I'm going to throw one more idea in there. I think it's also a story about who is most deserving of Jesus' attention. In biblical times, views of sickness and suffering were that they were an outcome of God's judgment. And people also thought that God preferred the righteous in that day. I think in this story, there's something about who deserves Jesus' attention and God's attention. If it is about that, then there is no contest about who is more deserving. Would it be the woman who had bleeding for 12 years, or would it be the young girl? It would be the young girl. Jairus' daughter wins that contest. She has her whole life ahead of her. And she is from the correct family and with the correct connections, religious connections. At 12 years of age, she is ready to begin her adult life, and to be blunt, in that day and age, ready to be fertile as well. But the woman in the crowd who came up and snuck her way up, she was more of a hopeless case, already judged by the futility of her expended resources and the duration of the disease that renders her permanently unclean in the spiritual sense. She is a waste of Jesus' time and power. Her life is really finished. In fact, she kind of used a guerrilla tactic of sneaking up on him under cover of the crowd to be healed, which in itself is a grounds for disqualification. But as always, God turns things upside down. The expectations of the people then, and perhaps even the expectations of some of us today, take a 180-degree turn. This drama of the young girl who's sick and dying, it starts off with her and ends with her. But in the middle, Mark puts in the story of this woman. He inserts this older, hopeless woman into the story of Jesus' mission. The old bleeding woman is an interruption in this story. But we learn that Jesus welcomes interruptions. And as the story unfolds, both are healed. The young and the old, the hopeful and the hopeless are healed. There is enough time, power, compassion, and grace to go around so that no one needs to be written off. Whether it be a young woman, an older woman, or a cocky bike rider, we just cannot determine who Jesus should prioritize for his attention. And that's because everyone gets Jesus' attention. At times of great disaster, I've learned that medical personnel are trained to practice triage, to decide who is in most need of medical attention and care. And so the injured are usually tagged with tape, and it goes something like this. Green for not serious. Yellow for serious. Red for critical. And black for terminal. So if Mark's gospel tells us anything about the nature of God in this story, it is this. We can throw away our tapes and labels. There is no need for triage in the kingdom of God. Jesus is God. God's grace and mercy and love extends to all of us. And that is something to be thankful for. Amen. We'll continue our worship this morning with our hymn of the day. We can remain seated as we sing together. Together with one voice, let us profess our faith through the words of the Apostle Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Growing in faith and discipleship. We give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy God, send out your church to cross boundaries for the sake of your holy compassion. Use our words and our actions to bring peace and holiness to all the people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bountiful God, all creation is a gift from you. Protect the earth from disaster and misuse. Free us from selfishness and to help us to honor the bounty of your nature. Sharing our earthly home gently with one another and with future generations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Liberating God, soften the hearts of the rulers and governments. Strengthen the voices of those to cry out for freedom and opportunity for the overlooked, oppressed, and abused. Teach our people to speak peace to all people and nations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, give us faith and make us whole. Ease the anxiety of the underdiagnosed or the chronically ill. Soothe the heartache of miscarriage or infertility. Look with compassion for all who cry to you for healing, especially Sue, Dave, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon and Carolyn, Dick, Maxine, Sharon, Ray, Dale, Sean, Lavone, Libby, Owen, Edith, Leo, Sam, Chelsea, Heather, and Harper, the family of Rube Larson, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Abusa Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or who confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mighty God, protect and bless all civil servants, local government officials, and members of the armed forces who work for our safety and security. Help us to be thoughtful citizens and good neighbors in our community. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Immortal God, your mercies never end with your faithfulness is everlasting. Inspire us by the faith of your saints, especially Catherine Winkworth and John Mason Neal, to wait patiently for your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we lift you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let's take some time to share that peace with each other this morning. Let's worship with our offerings. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave her all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Lord also taught his disciples a prayer that we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the bread has been broken and the wine has been poured. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, to experience God's presence and be transformed, knowing that God has power and compassion for all. Amen. Communion this morning is not by intention. There's a new process here at Christ Lutheran, and so when you come up the center aisle, take the cup, and then the wine or the grape juice will be poured into your cup. I'm sure you guys have done this a few times, but this is my first time, so I'm still learning. You may be seated, and our ushers will show you forward as our communion assistants come up to the altar.
Thank you. blood of Christ shed for 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 you.
Blood of Christ, given for you, which is the cross.
Please rise. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before our ascending song, receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We're only 50 minutes in, so I'm taking advantage of the last few minutes here, folks. For announcements, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and read through your bulletin. I don't really have anything to add for the announcements, unless there's anyone else who wants to bring something to the congregation. Yeah. Third time up today. All right.
I just want to direct your attention to the back of the bulletin. Our outdoor service we have scheduled for July 22nd. We are going to have a cookout, a picnic right after, immediately following the worship. I'm kind of looking forward to this. If you remember, as my son calls me an old lady, back in the day, we used to have outdoor worship as our second service when we had two pastors. So I'm kind of looking forward to going back outside for worship and then for the picnic. But we need help. We need help for setting up, tearing down, for grilling. We're going to have brats and hot dogs. And of course, we are a food-based ministry. We need food. We need salads, side dishes, veggies. There's a sign up in the narthex. So please come, bring your friends and your family, and we'll see you there. Thanks.
Thanks, Leslie. What is it for food again? Hot dogs and hamburgers? Brats and hamburgers. Brats and hot dogs. I've got hamburgers in my brain right now because it sounds so good. As soon as he said food, I kind of lost all train of thought. I may have to come back, I think, in a few weeks if you guys have your outdoor service. And I'll bring my own hamburger. If you bring it, they will grill it. Is that kind of the theme around here? So that sounds good to me. Yeah, I'm going to be sitting with you guys maybe at that service then. That looks great. Any other announcements from the pews? All right, if not, I do have one I want to do here. Ken Iverson, come on down. First of all, how many of you usually see Ken dressed in a t-shirt and blue jeans and tennis shoes? Exactly, as he says, his other clothes are packed, so that's good. Actually, you look fine. We'll take you any way you come here, Ken. But many of you know, and I just last week when I got the bulletin, I read about Ken and Sherry moving down south, not just for the winter, but but full-time down to Sun City, Arizona. And so often we welcome new members into our midst, but also when members also depart, I think it's important that we send them with a blessing. And so that's why I asked Ken's permission to have him come up, because I've known Ken for a few years. He was a great supporter of Lutheran Campus Ministry, doing meals and supporting us when I was there. Then when I was here as a bridge pastor, that's when Ken graduated from the Lay School of Ministry. I think he graduated on a Saturday afternoon, and I asked him to preach that Saturday night at 5. At the church. On Mother's Day weekend, yeah. And Ken was gracious enough to accept my invitation when I was a short-term pastor here to come preach. And I still remember your sermon, that it was your first sermon that day. But I also know that you and Sherry have been so actively involved in the community and many facets of ministry. And although it's hard for us to see you depart, we also know that your gifts and you have a community down there that you're going to. Ken said, what's the name of the church down there?
It's American Lutheran Church. It's an ELCA church. Martha knows it well. We see her at worship down there.
Great. So you actually have some of Christ Lutheran down there as well, too. We're all part, the kingdom of God is pretty big. We're all part of this, not just Christ Lutheran. But for you, Ken, and your wife, Sherry, we do want you to know that you are loved here and that you go with our blessing. So you can just turn and face me. I'm going to shake your hand. I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder, and let's bless Ken and Sherry. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Ken and Sherry, and for the many years that they've shared with us here at Christ Lutheran, just their commitment, their dedication, their discipleship, and what they brought to us. And we pray for both of them rich blessings and Godspeed as they go forth from this place to start a new home in Arizona. We pray for the church down there and for the ministries they have, that your word is shared. And also let Ken and Sherry know that the doors are always open here for their visits, that we can reunite, and that we are all part of this great kingdom that you have brought us together through your word and through your sacraments. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, I can't tell you all how much I've enjoyed worshiping with you here. And thank you for the trust that you've placed in me to do God's work with you. And we're really going to miss you. Goodbyes are hard. So God's blessings to each of you.
Thank you, Ken. I think, Ken, I forgot to mention, I think you guys are heading out on Friday. Is that correct? Or, yep, it's hitting the road on Friday. So hopefully you'll be around for a little bit here for anyone who wants to greet you after worship. So. And Schneckies, of course. We got those, so. I will be down there as well. I'm not going to miss that. So with that in mind, receive the dismissal. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.